So hey guys, I'm here with Steve, and if you don't know Steve, he's a coach of the Brand Myth Lifestyle Transformation Program, and he's really a living example of indifference, and he has an incredible vibe, and chicks just can't get enough from him, and all he does is basically ignores them. So how are you, Steve?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Daniel?
Great. I'm great, man. So Steve, were you always this carefree guy?
Definitely not. No. I used to make all the same mistakes and do all the same things a lot of guys do. You know, I was definitely the pursuer. So I used to ask girls out on dates, and I would constantly be communicating with them and calling them and checking in with them and just, you know, basically doing all of the things that, sometimes we all fall into doing, which only, you know, would serve to sometimes get me a first date. But usually it was, you know, if I actually got lucky enough to get on the date, that's about all it would be. It would just be a first date. There wouldn't be anything beyond that. And, I would go through this a lot, you know. I mean, I would have an okay amount of success, maybe, you know. I'd be able to get a girl to meet up with me for a drink or whatever. I take her out to dinner, you know, even before I got to know her, I'd be already, giving her gifts and taking her to fancy restaurants and, and she would show up and we'd do all that, but that would be it. There would be no second date. There'd be no hooking up. There wouldn't be anything after that. So after going through this, you know, for a while, I got frustrated and I started to try to figure out, you know. I mean, at first I classically blamed everybody else but myself.
Yeah.
And then I started to have to take some responsibility for what I was doing. And I had to try to understand, you know, also how I was being perceived in what I was doing. And once I started to understand that, I think it clicked for me, you know, and then I realized that, no, when you take a girl out to a really, really fancy restaurant before you even know her, it's kind of a false thing in a sense, because why, you know, she's thinking, wait a minute, I don't even know this guy. Why would he be taking me to, you know, it's almost like you're being very needy and you're trying to get something, like you're trying to, impress her with an expensive dinner. So that's always a turn off, and I learned never to do that ever.
Okay, nice. When you had to narrow it down to one thing, what helped you the most?
What helped me the most, I guess, was just taking a chance and trying a different way. And then when I saw that it was getting results immediately, I was taken aback, and it kind of occurred to me that, wow, you know, this is basically a kind of a subtle shift in my frame, and yet it created so much, created a much better result. So, I remember there was one time I'd asked this girl out to a pretty upscale event, and I was kind of getting pissed off that she hadn't gotten back to me to tell me, you know, whether or not she was going. And I had to kind of know, because I didn't want to invite somebody to the last minute, of course, you know, and I was getting frustrated and I was, you know, kind of blaming her and saying, oh, how could she be so rude as to not get back to me? And I was playing that whole thing. And, and then I just decided, you know what, screw this. I'm just going to call her and I'm going to say, look, you had your chance. You didn't get back to me. So, and by the way, I'm not suggesting this is how you handle these situations now. I'm just relating a situation that happened to me that sort of helped me break through. But I sort of gave her an ultimatum. I very bravely just stood up to her, which I would have never done before that, not caring where the chips were going to fall. And actually, she responded by, you know, starting to pursue me then at that point. And I noticed that just by making that subtle shift of not being the one who was the pursuer and not showing that I, you know, was attached to whether or not she was going to go out with me or not, or whether or not I even cared about whether or not she was going to go out with me, making that shift changed something in the way she started dealing with me. And I just then sat back and let her come to me. So when I noticed that, I was like, wow, so there's something really going on here.
And what do you think is the main issue guys have when they face this part of their life? Like,
that's a good question, because I think there are a lot of issues and things that guys need to deal with. But And I want to be able to answer that in a way where I'm answering the question. But I think the first thing is to understand that the idea of being indifferent or carefree is more of a philosophy, and it starts, and it starts when you wake up in the morning, and it's a way that you live your life. It's the way you live every facet of your life. So your business life, your personal life, your social life, personal life with your family, your social life going out. Those are all times when you're employing this, but it's a philosophy that's kind of coming from the inside out. It's not a technique. It's not something you memorize to say at any given time. It's not something you're putting on and turning off. It's who you are. So I think to try to answer the question, I think the one thing guys have to understand is it's not a technique, and it's something they should understand as being a full life philosophy. And when you approach it from that way, then you will know how to be in every given situation, because you'll understand sort of conceptually or on a, bigger scale what the concept of carefreeness or indifference really is. And there's a lot of misconception about what it is out there.
Could you define this philosophy of indifference?
Indifference is really being completely disconnected from the things that you don't necessarily control, the things that are outside of you. So we talk about being passionate with the process, but indifferent or not caring about the outcome. So it doesn't mean that you're uncaring. It just means that you're caring about or focused on the things that you're able to control, which is all of your own actions. So this causes you to become someone who's a person of action and not someone who is reacting to things. And indifference is also giving your life the meaning that you want to give it, because we understand that we live in what we call the matrix, where we're told what everything means and we're told how we should live our life. When we grow up, we go to college, we graduate college, we get married, we have 2.5 kids, we buy the house with the picket fence. It's all those constructs that the matrix has created, and all those things that we're told, this is how you're supposed to live your life. And there really is no one way that you live your life the way you feel true to, that you want to be true to yourself in the way you live your life. You don't want to be trying to live up to what someone else's standard is or what someone has told you the answer to happiness is, quote unquote. So it's a way to sort of focus your energies, getting more in touch with who you are, becoming disconnected from the things that affect you on the outside that you should understand and see as things that we've given a lot of importance and meaning to that you don't necessarily have to give the same importance and meaning to. So as an example, if you have a fight with, or if you have a disagreement with somebody, let's say, because fighting is probably not the best way to characterize that. You shouldn't be fighting, but if you're disagree, you're not gonna you want to take the emotion out of it. The emotion is the thing that you can control. You can't, the facts of the discussion are the facts of the discussion, but the way you're talking to somebody, if you're talking with your voice raised, that's something where your emotions are creeping in and controlling how you're acting. So with indifference, we're trying to control ourselves by trying to keep our emotions and desires and things in check. I hope that helped shed some light. We can get into it a little more, but it's kind of hard to explain it in just a very quick summation.
Yeah, sure. So, let's say you want to be carefree. How do you start this, or how do you control your emotions?
Well, I think the first thing is, when you wake up in the morning, we start with what we call our grateful list. And what it is just having an appreciation for being alive, having a respect for life, and knowing that life is precious and that every moment counts and that every moment is what you make it. So getting into being carefree and getting into indifference starts with, again, understanding that philosophy. And when you wake up in the morning, by going through all of the things that you're grateful for having good health or anything. And, if you have kids, grateful to have great kids, or just grateful really to just have an opportunity to be alive and live another day, in this form. So we start with that, and then we go into our affirmations. And our affirmations are very short little sentences that we that we say that are in the first person, and we talk about who we are, whether or not that's how we are. We talk about it in the way we frame it in a way that I'll give you an example. You say things such as, you know, women find me irresistible and they're always trying to find ways to hook up with me every time I go out. You know, it's all of these positive affirmations told in the first person that are basically building your story, because what you're doing is you're reprogramming all of that stuff that you've been told, all that stuff that you take with you over the course of the day, which is also, by the way, that voice inside of you during the day that's always talking to you, telling you that you're no good, telling you that this isn't going to work out, telling you that, you know, oh my God, you should be worried about this or worried about that. You know, it's that voice that always is harping on your insecurities. And it's having the awareness that you have that voice and then trying to redirect that voice into something more positive. And that's how we use these affirmations. These affirmations are sort of a reprogramming. And that's why we say them every morning. And we say them, you know, we're very disciplined. And we say them every day in the morning, and sometimes we say them throughout the day. But these affirmations are creating the new story of our life.
Nice. Yeah, I have a question from Matthew that fits really good in here. So, like, he wants to know, what is your current story of carefreeness, and what affirmations are you using during the day to remain carefree?
Yeah, I think one of those was the one I just used was an example. You know, I talk not just women, but I talk about people. You know, I find that people find it very easy to get to know me. People approach me all the time and are interested in striking up conversations. Women, of course, always want to hook up. There's another affirmation that I have that's a fun one. I always find money. Every time I look down on the ground, I see money. You know, that's another fun one. And of course, it manifests itself, because that's the idea. So I go out and I ride my bike or I go running. You know, yesterday I found a dollar. Sometimes I find 50 cents. One time I found $100. Another time, you know, it's varying amounts, but it's just one of those affirmations I do that's kind of fun. And it's kind of fun when it manifests itself, and it does quite often. So that's another one. Other affirmations that are more specific to being carefree, you know, are I don't give things the meaning that they have. I only give them the meaning I decide them to have. So that's another one. You know, those are just some examples, but for the most part, those affirmations should be things that are more specific to things that you're dealing with in your own life. So if you're having an issue with somebody, you could say, you know, every time I talk to that person, it's so free and it's so carefree and it's so easy to get along with them. And they really understand, you know, what I'm trying to say. And I really always listen to what they're trying to say. And we always have a really good connection, you know, and you can use that affirmation if you're having an issue with somebody that you're not getting along with.
Okay, nice. And can you explain the concept of being it?
Being it is related to your affirmations and your story. And that's why we tell them in the first person, because really what you're trying to do is get back to who you really are, not change yourself into something you're not. The Matrix has already done that for you. And that's why this is a process of getting more in touch with who you really are, because you're trying to strip away all the things that don't mean anything and don't have anything to do with who you are, and get down to who it is that you care to be, what you're going to do with, you know, how you're going to live your life and everything that you stand for. And so I think, you know, that's one way of getting in, you know, staying present and being it. You always think of things as you're already that thing. You're not trying to become that. You're not trying to become carefree. You already are carefree. You're not trying to become happy. You already are happy. Your natural state is happiness. You were born happy. That's your natural state. So being it is believing that you already are it.
And how important is visualizing in this process?
Oh, visualizing.
Yes.
Visualizing is important as well, because I think that's going to also help manifest the reality of your affirmation and your story. So you want to feel the same feelings you would feel at being that person that you're talking about. Let's say, let's just, you're a real estate agent, so you want to be the best real estate agent you can be. That's the goal. So what does it feel like to be the best real estate agent you can be? And you want to try to imagine what it feels like when you make that sale. What it feels like when someone's signing on the dotted line, what it feels like when you get your commission, what it feels like, to be proud of a job well done. What it feels like, to be have satisfaction about what you're doing and being the best at what you do. Things like that, I think. Just trying to capture the emotion and the way it feels when you're successful at anything. I don't just mean monetarily. I should try to avoid monetary examples, but it's okay to make money, and it's okay to do all that as long as you're not attached to it. But visualizing yourself as the person you're imagining yourself to be, very powerful.
So let's say you feel like you are attached to something, and how do you detach yourself from something? Like, how do you let go of something?
What I said first, have the awareness first, recognize that you're attached to that thing. That's number one. See how it's affecting you. Explore that a little bit. Understand how worked up you're getting over it. If it's somebody you're in a rela you know you're you just met and you're wanting to get to know that person a little better, they're not calling you back right away or something, whatever. And you're dry, and you're obsessing about it, which of course you should never do. But try to recognize that that's what's going on. Try to recognize that that's what you're doing, and also try to recognize that you're giving that meaning to whatever's happening. Whatever's happening may not be what you think is happening. Only you are giving it that meaning. And the more you give it that meaning, the more you manifest the result of the negative result, of course, of what you're imagining. So that's something that you have to be aware of that you're doing, and then get it in check, and then turn it around and reframe it.
Can you give an example of reframing something?
Yeah, and when I go out, let's say, when I go out to a club or a restaurant, out to meet people, my frame is that women all want to meet me. I'm not out there to meet women necessarily. I'm going out and giving them an opportunity to come meet me, because that's going to be awesome for them. Because I'm going to inspire them. I'm going to show them a great time. I'm going to be the kind of guy that they want to be with. I am the guy that they want to be with. So when I go out, my frame is I'm not going out to hit on women, so to speak, which we don't ever do, but or even to go out to meet women. They're there to meet me. So that's our simple reframe. Sometimes we go out to like a strip club or something, which again is something I don't do often. But when you go, if you're somebody who likes to go do that, the best frame to have in a strip club is that. Basically, the girl comes up, she's like, care for a dance? And you're like, no, I'm taking a break right now. I'm not giving out any dances. It's just a total reframe. And it's fun banter, and it sets the tone for how things are going to go.
Oh, nice. And what is happiness for you?
Happiness is just being centered, being able to get past all the clutter of life. And get down to really what's important, what's important to me, what I feel is important, and just cutting through the clutter of having certain emotions one way or another about how someone's treating me, and being able to let that all go and understand that it is what it is. I only control how I am, and I can't control how other people perceive me necessarily. I mean, I can to some degree, but ultimately it's going to be up to them how they perceive me. So I can only do what I can do to affect that. But it's just becoming, just being able to be calm and centered. That to me is happiness, and I can be at that place where I don't have to be revved up or, on, so to speak. I can just be who I am, just be myself, not worry about how other people are perceiving me.
That's awesome. And what are your thoughts about fake it until you make it?
Well, we covered this a couple minutes ago, but it's really you're not really fit. We've changed it now to create it while you make it, because fake it has just is sort of a it's given it's a, sort of a negative connotation. And what I was talking about before, this is not about turning yourself into something you're not. This is turning yourself back into something that you always were. So you're not faking anything. You're just being that person that you really are and trying to get back to that.
So, and how important is the relationship with yourself? And do you have like tips for improving it?
Well, relationship with yourself, just like any relationship, there's got to be honesty. So don't be afraid to recognize that you're not good at everything, or if you have, if there are things that you feel unsure about yourself, embrace those things along with embracing the things that are good about yourself, and try to accentuate the good things that are about yourself, and try not to dwell or worry too much about the things that you feel are not your best attributes, because we can get very hung up on focusing on what's not right. And we can lose our place with what is right and our focus on what's right. And we should just spend more time focusing on what's right and just really try not to pay too much attention to what we perceive as the thing that is where we're lacking, maybe. But definitely have an honest assessment of yourself, and then just have an awareness. Again, I think it's all about awareness, recognizing what you're doing, recognizing in the moment how you're about to respond or react, which is not what you want to do. You want to think about what you're going to say and then act accordingly, not just come back with a quick reaction. That's what people tend to do. They tend to react without thinking. It's like you ever get that email that pisses you off, and then you start furiously typing a response email, and then and you hit send, and 10 minutes later you're like, oh no, why did I do that? Why did I do that? It's like because you were reacting, and that's not a good, that's just not a good look. That's not what you want to be doing. You want to be a little more in control of what's going on. And that's what, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting a hold of yourself here. And acting in a way that reflects what reality really is and not what your emotions are hyping you up to think it is.
So you give yourself a little bit time before you like act on something and think about it beforehand.
Yeah, when you're getting emotional, I mean, again, you have the awareness that you are getting emotional. Stop, you check yourself and look at it. Say, first of all, why am I so worked up? What's the issue here? Because a lot of times the issue is not really what the issue is. Like, you ever have an argument with somebody and it really, it's about something so ridiculous, like you left the garbage out or something, just something, really not very important in the grand scheme of things, and you realize that's really not what I was mad about. I was really mad that that person doesn't, respect me. That's really what the issue's about. So check yourself, try to understand what it is the issue is really about. What is it that you're responding to? Because obviously someone's pushed your button. And you want to recognize what that is, and try to get it in focus that way. And then take a deep breath, of course, and then think before you act. So that's what we want to do. So try to be very present and try to be very aware and approach from that way.
Nice. Can you explain why reality is meaningless?
Reality is meaningless because it is, what can I say? And any meaning we've given reality has clearly been man-made. So, especially our modern society, we've created our own reality. We create it through everything that you see on the internet, which obviously you know is not backed up a lot of times by fact. So it doesn't matter because our society will accept it as truth. And once you accept something as truth, no matter whether it's true or not, it becomes the reality that you are living in. So, you have to be careful about that, and you have to recognize that that's what's going on, that we are giving meaning to everything. You know, we looked at a chair, we said that's a chair, or that's a rock, or that whatever, a tree or whatever. We've given it its meaning, and you've been taught what it means growing up, and by living in the Matrix, you've been taught that everything means something. And really, it just, you know, when you really get, you know, if you take time to really meditate and get down to the meat, what they call the meaning of life, you really want to get deep into this, you know, which is where the philosophical part of it comes into play. Yeah. And you really start looking at life, and you ask yourself, is it just seemingly a bunch of random things happening, or is there a design to this, you know? And you know, how does this all work exactly? Well, that you understand at some point that we took all of this disorder and we gave it order by giving it our own meaning. And that's what you recognize ultimately. That's what's going on. And if you recognize that, you can then give things your own, what, you know, you can make the meaning of things be what you want it to be.
Nice. Very well put. And you already mentioned gratitude in your life. So how important is that?
I think it's one of the most important things. I think we all should have humility and all be humble, you know. This is basically a gift. I mean, you can look at life as a gift. I don't want to get too wishy-washy here with the language, but you know, it truly is, as far as I can tell, a gift. And until I go on to another state here, to another level, which may not be my physical body, I'm going to make the most of this gift right now. And I'm going to be grateful that it's here. And I'm going to be grateful that I'm able to see it, feel it, taste it, touch it, experience it on any level, on every level I want. So, yeah, I'm embracing the day. I'm coming out of the gate with that frame of mind.
And what would you say to a guy that views himself as socially anxious and has fear of going out and socialize?
I would say everybody feels that way. You know, recognize that you're not alone, that women feel the same way. You know, I was just – there was a woman over here last night, as a matter of fact. She's absolutely gorgeous, but she does not perceive herself that way. She doesn't even think guys necessarily notice her. And she even said a really, you know, a crazy thing, you know, guys never hit on me. And I've been out with her before and guys hit on her all the time, but her perception of it is not that, you know, it's totally different. She has no reason to be insecure or feel insecure, certainly not about the way she looks. And so looks can be deceiving. So when you go out, you know, things are not what they seem. So just take comfort in that. Take comfort in the fact that you're not the only one out there who's nervous or maybe not, you know, not as good as other people meeting and socializing. You know, it's not an easy thing to do for probably most people. You know, and if you can get a hold of it, and if you can master it, and if you can get good at it, you know, the world is yours, you know, because the world is about people. It's about interaction with people. That's how things work in the world, right? So if you can go out and you can be comfortable around people and you can inspire people and you can make people feel comfortable around you to talk to you about how they really feel about things, and, you know, then you're going to help them also get past that same insecurity and those same issues, you know, that they have as well. So I would just say, just, you know, go out there, understand that everybody, you know, that there are a lot of people feel the same way you feel, and not to be afraid of it. And just, you got to embrace it. And if it doesn't work out, so what? Who cares? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? I mean, really, what's the worst possible thing that can happen? So, You get embarrassed in front of some strangers, so what? You're never going to see them again. Move on.
And can you tell us a recent success story?
Boy, there's so many. I mean, on our last coaching weekend, it was pretty insane, I have to say. The first night, we met a girl that just, she was like our valet, so she was going out and getting girls to hook up with us. I mean, she was inviting them to the champagne after party and, making drinks and being the hostess, and she was attracting other women. And, so that in and of itself was a success story from the angle that, we'd met somebody that was just so inspired by us and wanted to hang out and just have fun. That, she really made the night a whole lot more fun by being who she was, which, of course, led to other things. we had a phenomenal, well, it was actually it was three solid days of champagne partying. But Saturday night was really fun. We attracted a group of people who were just going off the walls, and they were so happy just to meet other people that were kind of just carefree and hanging out and drinking champagne and sharing it with them. And so they were having so much fun. It was really kind of making us have a better time too, and everybody around us was getting into the spirit of things, and so the usual stuff was going on. I was getting lap danced and women were getting spanked, and it was just another night. But it was getting dirty and filthy, and we were loving every minute of it. But every day is a success story. This stuff goes on constantly, so what I don't to try to pick one story is really a tough order.
Yeah, sure. So but the guys think so. But how do you make this happen? Like, how is that possible that a girl like approaches you and gives you a lap dance? Like,
a lot of times it just happens. you go out and you go out with a certain vibe. It's really about the way. It's really about that vibe that you're putting out. It's really about doing that inner work by repeating your affirmation and repeating your story every day and believing it and believing and that's who you are and feeling it and everything we just talked about and just becoming it. So when you're out, you will see the reactions. And sometimes I go out, I don't do anything. In fact, this last weekend, there was this girl who happened to be lap dancing me, who was lap dancing me. And the first, when we first started talking, she said to me, the first 2 hours I was here, you were ignoring me. I noticed you were ignoring me for the first 2 hours I was here, because all the other guys were sort of in her face and talking to her and, doing all that stuff, paying her a lot of attention. I was just hanging back. I wasn't paying her any attention at all. And she noticed it. And I just looked at her and I said, I noticed the same thing about you. You weren't paying any attention to me. So, I mean, that's how I was framing it. I was like, you weren't paying any attention to me. What do you mean I wasn't paying attention to you? I think you weren't paying attention to me. So, but it shows you that by doing less, I mean, while all the guys were trying to impress her and, whatever, engage her in conversation, I literally was just doing nothing, and I happened to stand out because, I'd set myself apart by actually just hanging out and doing nothing.
Nice. And when you could describe a typical day of yours, like, what do you do throughout the day? Or you already mentioned some things, but relating to inner game and socializing, like.
Well, again, affirmations, grateful list, always reminding myself, always trying to go back to what I'm thankful for and being humble, always trying to create whatever reality it is that day I want to create, I'm working on, whatever I'm trying to manifest, always trying to stay focused on that. And always trying to heed my own advice, of course. I think that we tend to preach what we need to learn the most sometimes. And so I, you know, so that's another interesting aspect to all this. So always trying to move to the next level, you know, always saying, how can I take this to the next level? What can I do next to really go to the next level?
Nice. And when guys want to do goat coaching with you, is there an opportunity like an upcoming new Hollywood event or?
Yeah, you know, with the phone coaching, I'm gonna make myself available. I haven't really had a lot of time to really do it, and you know, now I'm gonna try to, you know, find some time to do phone coaching. So yes, if anybody out there wants to do that, it can be arranged through Brent Smith Lifestyle at brentsmithlifestyle.com, and I have an email there that you can reach me at, which is Steve at brentsmithlifestyle.com. So you can email questions there directly, or contact me for me or Brent for phone coaching. We have upcoming Hollywood weekends, coaching weekends. We haven't decided when the next one's going to be because I'm going to be traveling for a few weeks, and so is Brent. But stay tuned for that because we're going to have probably one in April. April or May, we're shooting for now. So those are always amazing experiences, and I think you get a lot out of the actual physical coaching experience. So we're going to be doing one of those, and you know, we have a lot of great products. Brent does on BrentSmithLifestyle.com. The product that we did together was called Mastering Indifference. So if you guys are interested in learning more, or want just some more of the you know, kind of building blocks and basics of it, and so you know where to start and some good tips on how to get there, then I would suggest checking that program out because I think, you know, the feedback we're getting from a lot of guys is it's really transformed their life and it's really created a lot of aha moments for them. And it's really cut through a lot of the misconceptions about indifference because there are a lot of them out there. So it'll help you understand how to actually fully achieve it and become good at achieving
Yeah, I highly recommend that too. I have it myself, so it's really awesome.
Thanks,
Awesome
man. I
programming.
appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you, Steve, very much. That was awesome interview.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it. Well, I hope that's helpful. You know, the
Yeah.
idea here really is to try to give something back, to try to make ourselves available to answer questions, and to try to help guys who, you know, who, I mean, we were there too, guys. We know exactly what it feels like. You know, we know the pain of it. We know the frustration of it. So we really understand it, and we want to try to help you, you know, break out of that and start living a life where anything's possible, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like. Because, you know, I should have started out. I mean, I'm a very average kind of looking guy. You know, I'm not very tall, quite frankly. You know, I'm not the male model type at all. And you should know that this is something that it, no matter what you look like, you employ this philosophy to live the most incredible life you could ever possibly imagine for yourself. So there you go. That's what I have to say.